places. Straight up her pace, and her daddy left her. Too bad he never told her she deserved much better. Johnny boy always played the fool. He broke up the wall so you would think he was cool. He was never really one of the guys. No matter how hard he tried, at the thought of suicide. It's kind of hard when you ain't got no friends. He put his life to an end.
You have reached the state of Connecticut. Our office is now closed. Please call back during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Thank you.
Oh, they closed the whole state. How do you like that? The state of Connecticut might be closed, but HackerMind is open for business. And this is your host, Screamer Chaotix. Now, usually we have Dash Interrupt on the phone right away, but tonight we don't. But don't worry, we will have him. In fact, let's see if we can get him right now. I know it by heart. And watch me get some old lady. Greetings and salutations, Dash Interrupt.
Who is this?
This is Destiny calling.
Oh, really? Hey, what's going on?
Well, not much. I noticed that you tend to be wasting your life playing with computers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, man.
Well, let me tell you this. Follow the white rabbit.
All right, what the hell does that mean?
No, you see, you don't ask Destiny what it means. Destiny tells you what to do, and then you listen.
Who is this?
Hello, Dash, and welcome to HackerMind.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, we have some things that we told the listeners we would tell them
what
about.
What happened during the opening? I didn't get to listen.
What happened during the opening? Well, do you want to hear...
I heard you called the state of Connecticut.
Yeah.
I was unaware they had a phone number you could actually call.
Oh, yeah, you can call every state.
Really? I didn't know that. So,
yeah.
You can just call up the state and...
Well, you can call the state, but I mean, the state has to be in their office, they have to be, actually there. It's really tough getting a hold of them.
So the state of Connecticut is in an office?
Yeah.
I see. That's pretty interesting.
Well, you see, there's the state of Connecticut as, the body of land, and then there's the essence of it, the actual essence that represents the state, and he has the office. He's got a window, too.
I see.
Yeah. So, well, they're closed. So it's just.
I didn't know the state of Connecticut closed.
Yeah. It sucks.
But they're open all night.
No, 7-Eleven is, but not the state of Connecticut. But speaking of all night, I was playing around with the phone one night, a couple nights ago, actually.
Actually, we should probably, before you get into this, let me mention the chat.
Okay.
IRC.2600.net, channel HackerMind.
Because IRC.box.sk is still down.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Oh, well, I didn't want to interrupt you, but if you want me to go ahead and mention that, I will. I got a nice email from Aztec, and he told me that apparently the IRC server got DOS'd, and but it'll be back up soon, within a couple of days, I think he said.
Now, doesn't that piss you off?
Yeah, it does. It does piss me off, because we used that. That was our home.
Yeah. Yeah, and home to a lot of people, but some pathetic little person out there had to go and attack it. They had to flood it to death.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you were saying?
Well, actually, I was getting ready to talk about the whole DOS thing, but I'll go back to what I was talking about before.
Okay. Well, we're just skipping around here.
I was up pretty early one morning and playing with the phone. And I figured out a way to make a call to anywhere in the country for the one-time payment of 50 cents. You know, because around here, the local payphones are 50 cents for a local call. So I figured out a way to call anywhere in the country for that same 50 cents.
And what time did you discover this?
Oh, this had to be at about 4:45 a.m.
Really? So I see. Really, you found a way to call anywhere in the United States for 50 cents.
Yes, I did.
You have to keep putting in additional money?
No, no, one-time fee of 50 cents.
One-time fee?
Yes.
That's it?
Just that.
You don't have to pay for it at all?
Well, you have to pay the 50 cents.
Well, I mean, except for the 50 cents.
And, well, aside from that, I don't know.
You don't know.
It's possible that they bill it to your account, but we'll get into that when we explain how to do it, and that'll be later on in the show.
Okay, then.
Can't give away the good stuff right in the beginning.
Oh, you can't give away the good stuff in the beginning because then people think, oh, well, that's the highlight of the show. I'll stop listening now.
You know, I hear the HackerMind mascot. I'm not sure if this ever picks up on the microphone. It's not like I listen to the show. But the HackerMind mascot, that would be my hamster, Dante. I hear him in his little bowl of food right now. He always does this right when the show starts.
I can't hear it, so...
You can't hear it? Oh, okay. Well, then I guess people at home can't... You know, we should get Dante on the show sometime.
Yeah, we should do that.
We should just, you know, bring his little food bowl over here, let him run around in it, you know?
Yeah, okay.
He's got some things to say. He's elite, man. Don't mess with him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You gotta watch out for him. You don't believe me, do you?
No, I do.
Alright. Would you believe me if I told you that Windows XP was inserting words that... that people didn't want there?
Inserting words where?
Well, apparently into a lot of different programs. Random words and characters mysteriously appearing on the screens of some Windows XP and Office XP users are not the work... This is very good. Are not the work of phantom hackers or a sign that user systems are possessed by demons.
Well, there goes my whole theory.
Oh, man, I know. It had me worried. It's just Microsoft's voice recognition system running slightly amok, slightly, the company said. In recent weeks, several XP users have posted messages to internet discussion lists and news groups reporting that text is automatically appearing in Internet Explorer's address bar or in Outlook email messages or Word documents as users compose them. So picture yourself opening up Word 2000 or whatever you use. Typing away, you know, you're writing a story, you're writing a love letter, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
And then all these words start appearing, and you don't know where they're coming from.
What kind of words? I mean, is it just anything?
It doesn't say what kind of words. It just says that mysterious words are appearing. And
this goes to the voice recognition system.
Yeah. Now, get this. I'm afraid holy water would short it out, so someone please help me, wrote one XP user.
Yeah, okay.
Another Microsoft customer separately reported that a ghost appeared to be taking over his computer.
Ghost in the machine.
In the message entitled Phantom Menace XP, the user said something was causing toolbars and options to pop up without his input. Well, that could be something else, but we won't get into that. In response to user inquiries, in January, Microsoft published a handful of articles in the support section of its website about the problem. According to Microsoft, after installing Microsoft's speech application programming interface, random words or characters may be displayed in Office XP documents or in the Internet Explorer address bar. Now, isn't it great that they tell us exactly what we already know?
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah,
I just want to know, why is it putting words where there should be no words?
Well, here's why. The company said the behavior occurs because the speech recognition tool is listening to your voice through your computer's microphone and is attempting to recognize what you are saying. Microsoft said its speech recognition engine, a program file named SAPISVR or SAPIS Server, .exe, is turned on at installation by some computer manufacturers. The engine is also included with Microsoft Office XP and other speech-enabled products. So it's trying to recognize what you're saying, but it says here that merely unplugging or turning off the computer's microphone does not correct the random character problem, according to several user reports. So, who knows?
Has this ever happened to you? No,
this has not happened to me.
You being a Windows XP user?
Well, some of the time. But I haven't seen this happen. But Microsoft claims that to resolve the problem, XP users should disable the dictation and the voice command features on the operating system's language bar. Alternately, users can turn off speech recognition completely from the regional and language options tool on XP's control panel. Yeah, so users are getting random characters generated into their documents.
That's great.
It's kind of scary, don't you think?
Not really scary, it's just pain probably for people who are trying to type something out.
I mean, can you imagine this though? I mean, what better way to hide a Sub-7 attack than to blame it on that?
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I haven't used Sub-7 that much, but I don't think you can insert random bits of text on the screen, can you?
No, but you can with EtherCap.
Okay.
You can use EtherCap, which runs in Linux. I'm not sure if they... I know they have, like you said, other sniffer programs for Windows, but I know EtherCap has a special plugin that it's called Inject, and it actually lets you inject characters into the session. So let's say... This isn't really directly related to Windows XP, but let's say you're telnetting to some shell somewhere and you're typing in commands. Well, if someone's sniffing that connection, they, too, can enter in their own commands.
I see. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and which is why I had a little bit of fun.
Oh, you've done this?
No. I had a little bit of fun attempting to do this with, you know, I didn't have any internet connection at the time. I was just trying this with nothing. You know, it was just...
Trying it with nothing?
Yeah, it's just a hobby of mine because someone told me about it. Yeah. Somebody told me about it. And apparently what this person did... In fact, I think it might have been Dante.
No, I don't think it was him.
What this person did was they sniffed an instant messenger conversation between two people and were actually able to interject text. And he assumes that the other parties received that because they seemed to reply to it.
Yeah, that's kind of... This is a little bit of the same thing. Back in the day, a few years ago, I had ICQ back then, and I still have ICQ, but I used this program. I basically did that. I posed as somebody else, and I sent messages to this person. They thought I was them.
Oh, now you did this, huh? Oh, you despicable person.
Yeah, I did that, actually. Oh. It's been a while.
You and the hamster, man. You and the hamster. I don't know about you guys.
But yeah, I did that. It didn't work too well.
It didn't work too well.
It did work. It did work.
It did, though.
Yeah, but this was back when, you know, ICQ 98 or whatever, 97, was there 97?
I don't even care.
Back when there wasn't even a year, it was just called ICQ,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Back when they didn't have banners, and you didn't have to see those stupid ads at the bottom of every single message.
Right, yeah.
But, of course, Dash, you've created a way to get rid of those, right?
No, I haven't created a way to get rid of the bankers.
Oh, man. See, Dash, I'm trying to make it. You seem great here. What are you doing?
Oh, no, I haven't.
All you had to do was say yes.
Yeah, I could have, but
send people the program with a different name. Jeez.
Yeah.
But no. Dash is an honest person.
I am. I'm trying to be, and you're trying to make me, you know.
Oh, now you see, you made me lose my pen, Dash. What the hell?
Hey, at least I haven't been up 24 hours.
Oh, don't remind me. All right. I see you reminded me. Now I'm going to start feeling tired.
It's more than 24 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a lot more than 24 hours. It's been about almost 30.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, well.
Well, you seem like you're with it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm okay. You know, you doze off every now and then. You wake back up.
I'll wake up. I'll yell. I'll try to wake you back up.
Okay. Later on in the program, just so people have something to look forward to, we're going to tell you about the free call thing, and we're going to play around with my voicemail. There's a couple of interesting things in there, and it kind of ties into the whole payphone thing. So we'll explore the inner workings of my VoiceStream voicemail later on. Now this is going to be tricky, okay? This is going to be very tricky.
Why is this going
to
be tricky?
Because there's a lot of sensitive information that I have to enter into my voicemail. I have a...
Oh.
First off, there's the phone number, which is going to be my cell phone number.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then there's the password that I have to enter. And then I have private messages in there. Now, the messages I'm not too worried about. I really don't care if people hear who's calling me. I mean, it's not really that private. If you're gonna have messages stored somewhere else in the world... You know, you really can't expect privacy. But, you know, the password, really don't want that getting out. So
you don't want that out there.
So we'll try to work around that. Maybe I can pick up the receiver and take you off speakerphone. Well, we'll figure it out as we go along. Now, Dash, do you have anything interesting this week?
I have a few interesting things. But
I know you do. Let's hear them.
I do. Well, I found this in the paper today. Now, normally I find stuff online to talk about, but this is actually in my state's newspaper.
Oh, really? Cool.
So let me get it here. Hang on a second. Not very prepared.
Test disk.
All right, let's see. It's called Monkey Moves Cursor with Mind.
Ooh.
Doesn't that just reach out and grab you? Thin wire implant in brain smaller than bulkier predecessors. A monkey with a fingernail-sized brain implant moved a cursor on a computer screen just by thinking. The latest in a series of experiments that have raised hopes that paralyzed people might one day be able to control complex devices with their minds. While humans have already been implanted with a similar device that allows control of a cursor, the set of thin wires used by the Brown University researchers is less bulky and worked by measuring fewer neurons. Three rhesus monkeys were given the implants, which were first used to record signals from their motor cortex, an area of the brain that controls movement, as they manipulated the joystick with their hands. Then, those signals were used to develop a program that enabled one of the monkeys to continue moving the cursor with its brain. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
During dozens of trials over several months, the monkey moved the cursor just by thinking, and it used it to touch dots that appeared on the screen, earning orange juice as a reward. Oh, yeah. Said John Donahue, chairman of neuroscience at Brown. The results are promising enough that the device could one day be used on humans. The researchers have reported in today's issue of the journal Nature... No, I messed that up. The device could one day be used on humans, the researchers reported in today's issue of the journal Nature. They would not speculate on how long that might take. Anything that can be controlled with two or three-dimensional coordinates can be controlled by similar implants, Donahue said. Anything you can imagine can be engineered. What can you do with point-and-click navigation on the Internet, he said. In 1998, researchers at Emory University in Atlanta reported that a paralyzed man was able to control a cursor with a cone-shaped glass implant, using it to operate a voice synthesizer that allowed him to communicate. The key advance in the Brown study is that the researchers were able to use fewer neurons, between 7 and 30, to control the cursor.
Okay, well, we get the basic idea.
Oh, no, there's one more thing I gotta mention.
Okay.
Let me find it. Okay. Musa Ivaldi, a Northwestern University professor, said the glass cone implant is bulkier, but its advantage is that brain cells grow around the glass, holding it in place. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Brain cells grow around the implant.
Oh, I just love
that. Actually, I wanted to mention this because it goes along with the question of the week.
Okay, and what's are we going to give out the new question of the week first, or?
I don't know. Should we go through the old question of the week answers?
Oh, no, just let's hear. What's the new one?
Question of the week?
Yeah.
Okay. Question of the week is, since I mentioned this article, and it has to do with really advanced technology, and computers have advanced really far from, you know, back in the 70s, my question of the week for this week is, in what ways do you think technology will be advanced in 30 years, and what would you like to see technology be able to do? What kind of things do you think we'll be able to do 30 years from now? I mean, if we can do this with a monkey, and it's just going to get more advanced, and, you know, what would you like to see be done with it? And,
well, now, what kind of technology? I mean,
like computer technology, or,
okay, so like home computers, stuff like that?
Home computers, but stuff like this with the monkey and the implant.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, people can come and say, well, flying cars, you know.
No, stuff to deal with computers and stuff like that, like little just microchips and stuff like that.
Okay, so what do you think computers will be able to do in 30 years?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. What do you think computers will be able to do in 30 years?
Well, I have a lot of ideas, but, you know.
Mostly
what I think is going to happen, this concerns video games. You know, they use computers. And I think we'll be able to be more immersed in the video games somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, I don't really want to say too much about it, because, you know, never mind. Anyways, should we move on to the replies to last week's question?
Actually, I want to comment on the article you read.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead.
Talking about the monkey controlling a cursor with its brain. Now, I mean, I understand this is for the paralyzed people, and that's certainly good, but...
Yeah, but it could be, you know, also for people who aren't paralyzed.
Yeah, but...
When I read this article, I was reminded kind of... of the book Neuromancer.
Yeah. Okay. What did the monkey think?
I don't know. He somehow moved something on the screen to touch something else.
And they have evidence that he consciously did this. He knew what he was doing.
Well, I guess. I mean, he had to get the thing to the dot on the screen.
See, now what I want is I want like remote controls in my brain. You know.
Yeah.
Just like look at the TV and click. There it is. But then again, do people really want to become part computer?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's like building androids, you know? It's like making people into cyborgs.
It's like the movies, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I like the idea of my brain cells growing around a computer chip, but...
Well, you don't have to do it, but...
yeah.
That's where it's heading. That's where technology is going, man. It's going toward implanting computerized devices in people.
All right, now, we had a lot of answers to the question of the week.
Yeah, we did. I got a few of them.
Okay, you got a few of them. So to the people that didn't get their answers read, we love you anyway.
I'll keep the people whose answers I read this week, and I'll try to get other people next week. How's that sound?
That sounds fair, but remember that they are all posted on the message board at HackerMind.net.
Yeah, they're all over there.
All right, so let's get to it.
Last week's question of the week was, if the source code of Microsoft Windows was released, what would you do with it? What do you think other people would do with it? And what would you like to see? What would you like to see be done with it? And I have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right.
I got 7 replies here.
7 replies. Okay, read them fast.
All right, the first one comes from Stank Dog. Stank Dog. One of the many things I would do is I would actually clean up the registry situation and make it more comprehensible for general users. Make a cleaner tweak utility on an application by application basis instead of all these hidden registry entries. I agree with that. Damn registry. I think people would also remove a lot of the overhead that is used by the integrated components of Windows OS, like Internet Explorer. Remove the links that make IE a necessity for the rest of the OS, and remove the bloated apps that rely on it. This means a smaller footprint that would allow it to run on lower-end machines. Finally, an OS that will run on the newest P4 chips and still run on a 486 using the same code base, albeit watered down. At the same time, I think there will also be boosted or hyper fighting editions for high-end users to really use the extra power. Hardware pulling is very bad for low-end systems due to its intensity, but with a high-end system, it could be boosted to become an almost live state. Next one comes from Silent Rage. He says, well, I'd like to see some company take the code and make it far more efficient and simplified, cut out the crap completely, and give you a shell. Bare minimum Windows with no bells or whistles. I mean, it's a graphical OS. It will never be like Linux, but it sure can be a lot better. Flaxcrack says, I'm going to make this short. Nothing long or in detail, just something to the point. One, if I could get it, I would look at it once or twice, and after that, if it would waste space on my hard disk. Two, I think others would try to make their own hacked version of it, and one or two of them might be good versions or even more secure versions, but the likelihood of that happening is very small. And three, as far as Windows goes, I am pretty much satisfied with the software. There's been no real hard facts that is spyware, like the media suggested it is. I don't really agree with that. So I really wouldn't care if changes were made or not. Honestly, I really don't think anyone could do a better job than Microsoft themselves. The same programmers, I'm sure, have been writing this script for around 20 years now. They, if anyone, would know what to improve and how to do it. And, let's see, Sir Wicked says, for Microsoft to get better, someone needs to totally rebuild the entire Windows. For that to happen, we need Microsoft source codes. However, if we were to get our hands at Windows source code, the Windows software would not look/feel/act the same in any way. To make it more secure, we need to remake the entire operating system. Sekel, I guess that's how you say it, S-E-K-E-L, says, if Microsoft releases source code, I think you would find far more hackers taking a look at it and doing the same thing that we do with Linux now. We would rewrite what we don't like and make it do what we want it to. I think that would happen. It'd be like Linux, kind of. Let's see. Kamikaze says, being the gaming nut that I am, I would create a gaming version of Windows. The rewritten OS would still take advantage of DirectX and other APIs, but all other components in Windows not related to games would be removed. Of course, there is a need for internet applications, so those will be included. The GUI would be very limited and compact as not to waste system resources. Most importantly, the Windows kernel would be completely rewritten to squeeze every bit of performance out of the hardware. I'm not a programmer, but there must be a way to make the OS stop using resources and allocate all of them to the game being played. Then, when the game is killed, return those resources back to the OS.
But isn't that called Xbox?
Yeah, I guess so. Considering the amount of power PCs have, they would run circles around consoles if this could be accomplished. He just countered you there.
Yeah,
increasing security wouldn't hurt either. Now, finally, Lentium says, I'm not sure if I'd be able to make any sense of the code or not, but as far as what I'd like other people to do with it, I'd be really interested in finding out whether or not Microsoft really has any kinds of backdoors or anonymous usage statistics that they haven't told anyone about and that you can turn off. That you can't turn off. I'm sure that at least Windows XP sends minimal info back to Microsoft.
Back to home base.
So, those are pretty good replies. I agree with most of them.
Okie dokie, and we'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to answer the question of the week. And once again, the new question of the week, and Dashpool will put this up after the show so you can start your posting, is what do you think computers will be able to do in 30 years?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, we're taking a break?
I knew you were going to say that. Yes, we're taking a break. And when we come back, see, every time we have something special, we have to take a break before it.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it gives us time to cool off, to prepare, you know, get our...
You could tell me that we're taking a break so I could pick the music for the break.
You'll like this music, though.
What is it?
You will. Trust me.
Magic people, voodoo people. say to new people?
I'll tell you what.
Tell me what.
Next time we have a break, I'll let you pick the Rage song.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah. I'll let you pick music for the break a lot of times, but it can't always be Rage.
Okay, I understand.
That's the thing, because, you know, Dash music equals Rage.
No, it's more than just Rage.
It's not, though.
No, it is, though. No, it really is.
All right, well, you have to prove that to me.
Okay.
All right, now, what we're going to do is play around with voicemail. Now, I'm not sure if you remember this. Well, you should. Do you remember last week I called you up? You were on the road.
Yep, I was on the road last week.
Okay, and right before that, I had called this part you didn't hear, but I had called my voicemail to play the recording that I had there, which was basically a mock intercept recording.
Right. Yeah, I heard it.
Right. Okay. Well, after that, I hit the flash button and came back to you, but unfortunately, the connection was still open and we started recording.
Hey, yeah.
So we're gonna play that back. It's only a couple minutes. It's just, you know, it's a journey back in time, and it's gonna be one part of our little journey into the voicemail here. So
it's a little part of HackerMind recorded on voicemail.
Yes, it is. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up the receiver. So Dash is going to go away for a little bit, but I'll still hear him. Hello, Dash. How are you? No, they can't hear you, but I'm going to have to flash over to my voicemail, and I don't want them to hear that. All right, so now I'm dialing up my voicemail. I don't think there's anything wrong with you hearing this part. Hello, Dash.
Hello, listeners. I said hi.
Oh, they can hear you now.
Okay, good.
The number you have dialed is incorrect. Please check the number and try to call again.
or ask your operator for assistance. This is recording 20353. Oh, but by the way, if you have Verizon, God help you.
Please enter your password.
See, this is the part that they don't need to hear. I don't care if you hear it, though, Dash.
And 2. Saved messages. Please enter the area code and telephone number, followed by pound.
Now, do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
Dial the area code and telephone number.
Two saved messages.
Please enter the area code and telephone number.
I forgot to hit pound.
Please hold while I place your call.
Yeah.
Purchase or refinance your home with People.
Now, there you go. That's a completed call right there.
Well, housing lender.
People's Bank time. 10:34. The current temperature is 51 degrees.
Now, Bridgeport's only official forecast.
Mostly clear.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to listen through that whole thing before they let me get back to my voicemail. So let me dial that up one more time. And this time, well, you know what? Before I do that, let me just explain what that was.
Okay, what did happen there?
Okay, first I dialed up my VoiceStream voicemail. And as you heard, I logged in using my password. And then I hit 9. Now, 9 is the option that lets you place a call from the voicemail system. Okay, whoop-de-doo. You're probably saying they must charge it to your cell phone. They must knock off your minutes or something
right,
like that.
Right, right, yeah.
Well, that's possible, even though no one ever told me about that. I mean, I'm guessing that's the most logical thing, although it's not a guarantee. So, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is you can go to a payphone, and this is what I learned at 4:45 in the morning. You can go to a payphone, call up your voicemail, hit star to get to the password prompt, enter your password, hit 9 to make a call, and you can dial anywhere in the country, and that payphone will not ask for more money.
That's interesting.
So you put in 50 cents to the payphone to make this one local call, and you can call anywhere in the country, and after the call disconnects, you can make another call. So for that same 50 cents, you can call all around the country and hear things from a payphone.
I'm thinking they gotta charge it to something.
They got to charge it to something, yeah, so it's probably knocking off minutes on my cell phone, but supposing your cell phone doesn't work, you know, suppose you break down and your cell phone's not working, you go to a payphone and you have to make a call or whatever, and you really don't want to call, you know, from California to Florida from a payphone because it's going to be an outrageous price whether you call collect or not. Ava Save-A-Lot is a liar, okay? It's not that cheaper.
You calling her a liar?
Yeah, Ava Save-A-Lot. It's not that much cheaper, Dash, believe me.
Okay, I believe you.
All right, so...
So it could be charging it back to your cell phone.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but if it was, the only thing I can imagine is that it's knocking off my minutes.
Yeah.
You know, because I've never received a separate bill. I've never been told, hey, if you make a call from here, you'll get a new bill. It must be knocking off my minutes, but it allows you to call from a payphone to anywhere in the country without having to feed that payphone $5 worth of money.
And I'd like to hear from other people with different cell phone service about if they can do this too.
All right. Well, all they have to do is get into their voicemail. Now, with VoiceStream voicemail from your cell phone, all you have to do is dial 123 and you'll get voicemail. But, of course, to get your voicemail from any other phone, you have to dial your cell phone's number. So, that's how you get to it. You hit 9, and you can make a call. Now, what we're going to do, first of all, let me play the first message, and then we're going to have fun with voice recognition.
Okay.
All right, so I have to pick up the receiver again. Dash, go bye-bye. Hi, Dash. I'm flashing. And you already heard the recording, so there's no need to play that again. Okay. Entering the password. Dash is going to hack me later.
And 2. Saved messages. To listen to your messages, press 1. Saved messages. Thursday, March 7th, 10:02 p.m. Telephone number.
I don't think so. La da 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 da.
Six.
La da da ba 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 ba.
the show is Hackermind. Guess what? I'm Screamer Chaotix, and on the phone and on the road, Dash Interrupt.
Hey.
Let's see if he's there. Now, Dash, you haven't crashed yet, right?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
All right, good. Yeah, I haven't crashed yet.
Can you fill us in? Like, where are you right now?
I'm just driving down the end of my road here. I'm going to go... last week we were talking about COCON, so I felt that the folks should know what it's... Well, kind of, you know what it's like. I know they can go and check on their own, but I wanted to go and check on a couple payphones, see if they're COCON or not, you know.
That's the thing I do for fun, so...
Yeah.
All right, so before we get started with anything else, Dash, just let us know when you reach one of them. We'll go back to you.
It'll be a few minutes before I get there, so...
Okay, well, no problem. I wanted to read an email that I received, and this comes to us from our friend Gizmo over at Underground News, and he has this to say: Hello, I represent UGN, which can be viewed at undergroundnews.com. Monthly, we get anywhere from 100,000 to a million unique impressions. We recently Okay.
What was that?
I believe I know what that was. Hold on.
To copy this message to another person.
Okay.
Saved message, Friday.
No, we don't need that.
End of messages. To listen to your messages, press 1. To send a message, press 2. To change your greeting, press 3. To change your personal options, press 4. To make a call, press 9. To make a voice dial call, press 99.
That's what we want.
Voice dial.
1-800-555-NUTTIN.
Nuttin.
Could you repeat that?
1-800-555. Your mama.
Please say dial, directory, customer service, voicemail, or help.
Directory.
Help me. Directory.
Directory.
Directory menu.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that?
No.
No. Be quiet. Go away.
Please say add, review, change, or delete.
Add.
Delete.
What entry would you like to add?
0.
Bob.
98.7 FM.
Please say that again.
No.
No, say 0, and then I say Bob, and then you go 98.7 FM.
Yeah, that's right.
Please say that again.
No, shut up. Leave us alone.
0, Bob.
No.
No. 0.
Please say that again.
0.
Entry not added. I am returning you to the directory menu. Directory menu.
Delete.
There are no entries in your personal directory.
No.
I am returning you to the directory menu. Directory menu.
Dial. I want to dial.
You can stop any help topic by saying cancel.
Cancel.
Pressing any number key.
Okay.
Help.
I want to dial.
Dial. Dial, woman.
Please say add, change,
no.
Delete, review, directory tips, or cancel.
Cancel.
I'm returning you to the directory menu.
No.
Directory menu.
Cancel.
I'm returning you to the voice dial menu.
Thank you.
Voice dial menu.
Dial.
Could you repeat that?
Dial.
Please say a telephone number or say cancel to start over.
800-555-8355.
Dialing 893.
What? No. No. No dial.
Up.
Okay, screw that.
Oh, stupid ass.
All right, well, that was fun with voicemail right there is what that was.
Yeah, that's what that was. And in case anybody's confused, we played last week's, Audeville last week's episode, so...
Yeah, what you just heard there, No, we didn't mess up. That was last week's episode. That was the beginning of last week's episode. And when we wondered what that noise was, it was actually the voicemail warning us that we only had a couple seconds left to record.
Yeah, so that's what that was. But this is this week. This is us right now.
Yeah, we're back live, unless, of course, you're listening to this on loop or you downloaded it, in which case, wow, you're just so messed up.
Yeah, you're not listening live, and you should be.
Shame on you. All right, well, that was fun with voicemail. And remember, we'd love to hear from you to see if you, too, can dial all over the country from any payphone using your cellular provider's voicemail. So let us know. And if you have VoiceDream, go do that right now. You can. And you know what? The great thing is, if this actually gets billed back to my account, well, of course it would be even better if it didn't, but if it does, I'll be able to bill things to my cell phone by just dialing them on my regular phone, which can allow me to call up con lines and, conferences, excuse me,
yeah,
and make all sorts of phone tracks for free, because, of course, it's being billed to my cell phone, and I can still record them, so that's great.
That is great. That's pretty great.
Alrighty, so, let us know what you find, and
I wanted to know what that automated service was gonna. Never mind.
What, Dad? You want to know what number it was gonna dial?
An ANI number from that automated service.
Oh, what would happen if you dialed an ANI number? Yeah, you know, I had tried dialing an 800 number and it just wouldn't have it. But you know what?
What?
You know what? We wouldn't be hackers if we didn't try. We gotta try real quick.
I want to see. Yeah.
All right, hold on. Hello, Dash. All right, we're dialing this up one more time because we have to know. Hackers are just naturally curious.
Two new messages.
All right, here
and
we go.
Two saved messages. To listen to your messages, please enter the area code and telephone number followed by pound. Please hold while I place your call.
All right. Calling an ANI number.
All right, good.
Thank you for calling.
Oh.
Our residential service hours are Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Our automated system is available 24 hours a day to handle your service needs. To use our automated system, please remain on the line and confirm your home phone number when
prompted.
Better
not be my cell phone
number.
May
also obtain account information online at www.mci.com/service. Our system indicates you are calling from 860. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not, press 2.
860.
Yeah, apparently,
860, we're calling from what, 3 digits?
860 is an area code here in Connecticut, so, let's try to figure this out. Now, I know, like, if you call up AT&T and call an ANI number through them, you'll hear, if you're calling from 212. So, I'm assuming that when you dial that number, you get AT&T in New York City, 212. Well, this voicemail must be located in area code 860, unless I'm completely off, and if anyone knows better, you know, feel free to fill me in, but I'm guessing that they don't get the number, they can only get the area code.
Probably, yeah.
Just a hunch. But, it'd be kind of funny to see what they say when you show up with a number like 860.
Yeah.
And if this is the number you're calling about, please stay on the line.
860. That's my home phone number. What?
Yeah. 212, even better. Now, but ironically, if you call during the day when MCI is open through AT&T, you get the number read back as 212-222-2222.
Yeah.
So, what do you make of that?
I don't know. When I call an ANI number for my cell phone, I of course get, you know, some 220-0000, but that's just the phone number of the cell site, but... Yeah, it's weird.
Wait a minute, say that... Oh, okay. You have an analog cell phone?
Well, it's the same cell phone as yours, so...
See, now that's odd, because when I call an ANI number with my new, TalkBack, what is that thing called?
Oh.
TalkAbout phone. It reads back my phone number now, because I'm guessing because it's digital, now it gets the number, but when it was analog, no, it couldn't come back to my phone. It stopped at the cell site.
I see. I think mine is an older version of TalkAbout, so I don't know, maybe it is just analog.
But real quick, sorry to cut you off here, Dash, but
I'm done.
What?
No, I was done talking.
All right, well, I'm just going to try dialing that 212-222-2222 number, just to see what we get. We gotta know, folks.
Beep. to Carmel Car Service. For reservations, please call 212.
Okay, so we got Carmel Car Services.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I don't understand why AT&T would be read back as Carmel Car Services, but...
Carmel. That's funny.
That's definitely weird. Okay, well, enough of that. Let's move on here. Dash, do you have anything for us?
I have a couple articles I could talk about.
Alrighty, let's hear them.
Can you hear me? My phone's messing up a little bit.
Oh, you sound fine.
Are you sure? Can you hear me now?
Well, now you're just getting a little carried away.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but you sound a little far away.
Okay, how about now?
That's great.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. Did you know that... Hang on, I got an article here I want to talk about because it's really interesting.
Oh, but, you know, before you begin, I think I should let people know that they can go to wbglinks.net, they can go to securityfocus.com, and they can go to wired.com, either that or wirednews.com, and read more stories about Adrian Lamo.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing new. Nothing new, of course, but more propaganda.
Yeah, more propaganda.
All right, go ahead.
The headline reads, "Smile, you're on bootleg camera." Now, I don't know if you heard about this, but I'm going to read it because it's rather interesting. "One should never underestimate the inventiveness of the criminal mind. After last week's story about a teenager who used his iPod to copy software from a demonstration computer at CompUSA, it has emerged that there are clever ways to steal software from computer stores." Wired News, this comes from Wired News, "readers submitted dozens of tawdry tales involving built-in CD burners, digital cameras, and even the internet, which was used to send software from inside an Apple store. Many readers said it's long been known that the built-in CD burners of demonstration machines are great for making pirate copies of software. One reader even told how a not-too-bright CompUSA employee actually copied some software for him when he asked to test an IMAX built-in CD burner. The CompUSA employee gladly complied," the reader wrote. "They inserted my CDR into the drive, and then they dragged the files to the recordable media. Among these folders and files they dragged over to burn, they copied AppleWorks, the Apple productivity suite that retails for $99 separately. I walked out with a burned CD of an application I didn't pay for and I didn't ask for. Why be covert when the employees are happy to help?" The reader, who asked to remain anonymous, said he later destroyed the disc. "Yeah, sure. This sort of stuff goes on all the time in school environments," wrote J.R. Griffiths, multimedia chair of a high school in Houston. "We catch students all the time either trying to burn to the CDR or copy to their iOmega zip drives or jazz drives. Some readers said using FireWire hard drives like the iPod harkens back to the old days when software was copied from stores using floppy disks. I did the same sort of in-store piracy with floppy disks when I was 18 years old," wrote Darren Adler in an email. "I even brought floppies with my own copying program to circumvent copy protection. It's just a temporary technical anomaly that programs are too big to copy quickly without newer technologies like FireWire."
See, now this confuses me, though, because when I go into CompUSA, and I had heard about this story on Off the Hook, and I had the same question then, but it doesn't make any sense to me. No one can answer this. When I go into CompUSA, there's not a single machine connected to the Internet.
Well, apparently in some stores there are.
Well, I guess some stores are just dumb.
And it goes on to say, I don't feel like reading the rest of this because it's pretty long, but basically you can go in there and actually burn a disk, or you can send yourself something from the computer inside the store to your home computer. And
see, I think it helps if you go in there dressed as like a businessman. You know, if you go in there with a suit and tie, you can do that, because I know that when I go in there, you know, wearing all black or whatever, they don't like it when I stand at the computer for too long.
Well, who cares?
Well, me.
Yeah, if you don't want to be harassed very much, dress respectively.
Oh, yeah.
Respectively.
It's my fault.
Yeah, well, tongue-tied there. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, people copying software.
Yeah, but that's really interesting, because I never even thought of just going in there and making a copy of something.
Yeah, yeah. I still say you got to have some cojones to do that, though.
Just walk in there with the CDR and, you know, go to one of the computers in the back and stick your CD in there and make a copy of something.
Well, we don't recommend that, because I don't think they'll like that now.
I recommend it. I say go do it.
Yeah, well, be careful what you say, Dash, because in this world, thought crimes are a reality.
Yeah, they are. Which is sad.
Yeah.
What else did I have to say? Okay, I wanted to... No, that's not too important, I guess.
You want some pie?
Talk about it. No, thank you.
You sure you don't want some pie?
Well, what kind you got?
On the crew page, there should be some pie.
Oh, yeah, I think... Maybe I'd like some... Yeah, I think I'd like some pie.
Yeah, well, I think if you click on the pie and... Within a week or two, do you think, there might be some new pie on there?
I don't know. Maybe there might be some new pie, but this pie, I like this pie, all right? It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, this pie is good, but I know you got much better pie coming along.
Oh, well, yeah. I can make better pie than that.
Oh, I know you can make a lot better pie, and yeah. I can't wait to try some of it.
Yeah.
So within a week or two, there should be some new pie.
That'll be a little while. But, pie sounds good.
All right, so, let me just read this. All the amazing things you can do with an empty Pringles can. Have you heard about this?
Just don't get it caught, stuck on your arm, because when you're reaching in there...
You're trying to get the last one, right?
It's on the bottom, and they get stuck on your arm.
Idiots, man. What you gotta do is you just tilt it. I mean, do you have to reach for them? If you can't tilt the thing, then let it go. Just let it go.
Get your arm caught in there.
Well, empty cans of Pringles crisps, I guess they have to add that in, could be helping malicious hackers spot wireless networks. I love malicious. You know malicious. Yeah, you find something, you're malicious. Could help malicious hackers spot wireless networks that are open to attack. Security company iSec has demonstrated that a directional antenna made with a Pringles can significantly improves the chances of finding the wireless computer networks being used in London's financial district.
Oh, watch out for people with laptops and Pringles.
Now watch out for iSec, because apparently they're malicious hackers, according to this article. An informal survey carried out by iSec using the homemade antenna has found that over two-thirds of networks were doing nothing to protect themselves. The security firm said that all companies at risk could easily thwart anyone that wanted to find and penetrate their network by making a few simple changes to the hardware used to build the wireless networks. Yeah, so using a Pringles can actually boost your chances of finding a wireless network.
That's pretty cool. If I had a laptop with a wireless card in it.
Yeah, well, not all of us do.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Dash. We have... Oh, we got about a minute left.
Oh, what should we talk about for the minute?
Oh, a whole minute.
Oh, maybe we should just BS.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got articles. I'm prepared. It's just don't want to start something if I can't finish it. You know,
covered articles. You know,
yeah, they got there's an article. Let me see if I have where it comes from.
No, don't worry about the articles, man.
No, just...
What's up with you?
Me? Nothing. But I want to let people know that there are articles out there.
Oh, yeah, there's articles. We know there's articles.
You can find a lot of them on wbglinks.net.
What's going on with Screamer Chaotix?
What?
What's going on with Screamer Chaotix?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. You could find out about operating system lemons, and should people that make bad operating system programs or operating systems themselves be held responsible? We've heard that before. And also, you can find articles dealing with new programs that actually track hacker patterns. So, hackers of the world, if you're doing naughty things, do it a bit differently.
Hackers of the world.
Now,
yeah.
What's going on with Screamer Chaotix? Well, Screamer Chaotix is going to be on the X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Screamer Chaotix is going to be on the X-Files. Well...
I know you're happy about that because you're the X-File.
Yes, that's X-File, P-H, yeah.
Being P-H-I-F-L-E.
Yeah, close. Minus the F, though.
I mean, yeah. I said P-H-I-L... Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Well, my name is going to be appearing, my handle anyway, Screamer Chaotix, will be appearing within either this week's episode, between this week's episode and the finale.
See, okay. I entered this contest too, but I didn't win.
Yeah, well, if it was for 24, you would have won in that.
24 is my shit.
That's your show, this is mine, so... Look for, it's really quick, it's during the opening credits, they have a list of names on the screen, you know, it's a bunch of screen names.
And, go back, slow motion, look for it.
Yeah, you can record it, and look for Screamer Chaotix. And
are you going to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Just curious.
I'm gonna record every single episode until I see my name, and then I jump for joy and go,
well, there you go, yeah. Yeah, that's
step
great.
Closer to world domination.
All right, so you're the X-File. Let me ask you this.
All right, we got like 2 seconds.
I haven't seen a lot of X-Files episodes, so what's going on in the X-Files world?
Aliens about to colonize the Earth. There are ships found all throughout the world that have markings on them that are supposedly different things like human DNA. So basically the aliens made us, and then they gave us all of our religions, and they spread
it
out. Now the whole question is, where did people come from? Did they come from aliens?
Yeah, but I got another question.
Well, hurry up. We're over.
How's about that Scully?
Yeah. How's about that Scully, huh?
Okay.
Dash Interrupt, the man that has an intellectual thing to say every now and then. He'll be back next week. I'll be back next week. And so, until then, this is Screamer Chaotix for Dash Interrupt, saying, what am I saying this week, Dash?
Keep it real.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.